this level of participation by the general public in the running of their country. But it is also worth noting that some of the least democratic countries of the world are also located in West Asia, neighbouring Iran. These dictatorial and totalitarian regimes, many of them absolute monarchies, do not have the support of a majority of their own populations. And yet, they invade Yemen and have killed hundreds of thousands of Yemeni men, women and children with weapons supplied to them largely by the United States of America and Britain. These same ruthless dictatorial regimes, neighbouring Iran, have murdered dissident journalists and have imprisoned political activists and women's rights activists. But so-called defenders of human rights in the West have kept silent on these dreadful crimes. Western governments have failed to condemn these crimes, giving these dictatorial regimes, who happen to be client states of the West, just a simple slap on the wrist. The Islamic Republic of Iran, of course, is treated very differently by the West, which shamelessly pursues double standards in the West Asia region. Britain and the United States, in collaboration with certain dictatorial regimes of West Asia, have established dozens of Persian language broadcasters who air disinformation and lies and give a very biased coverage of events in Iran. Broadcasters like Iran International, BBC Persian, VOA, Voice of America, and Manotor. The purpose of these broadcasts is to cause a rift between the Iranian people and their government and to create unrest in the country. Every pretext is used to stoke tension and unrest within the Islamic Republic. The tragic and untimely death of a young Iranian woman, Mahsa Amini, was used to bring about unrest in the country under the guise of defending women's rights. It is worth noting that an autopsy and coroner's report in relation to the tragic death of this young woman states quite clearly that no acts of violence of any kind have played a part in the death of this young woman. In fact, according to the coroner's report, Mahsa Amini had a history of stroke and heart attacks, and this was what ultimately caused her death after she went into a coma. Concurrent with Mahsa Amini's death in mid-September, a horrific act of terrorism in Kabul, Afghanistan, claimed the lives of dozens of young girls and children. Rather shamefully, not one Western government or Western human rights organization expressed any sympathy or any condolence to the families of the victims of this horrific terrorist attack. This tragedy in Afghanistan apparently went unnoticed by Western governments and Western human rights organizations. However, mainstream Western media, including the Persian language broadcasters which go on air in London, have given maximum media coverage to events in Iran, as usual, putting out misinformation and outright lies and pouring fuel onto the fire of unrest. In just about any country in the world, the police and security forces arrest rioters and those who damage public or government property. Just about every night, police forces throughout Europe arrest rioters and demonstrators who damage public or government property. But when Iranian police and security forces do the same, this is somehow seen as unconventional or something unusual. The Islamic Revolution in Iran triumphed in a two-polar world. We overcame both the East and the West. The Islamic Revolution triumphed with the support of the Iranian people, and this support remains steady and steadfast up until this day. Oh.
Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to another episode of Back to Reality. Well, I am Asma, your humble host. This is another time that I have the honor to be your humble host. Here with me, I have two very dear guests.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Bita, and you know, I'm really honored with this pleasure to be here at your service. I am a medical student in Iran. Yeah.
And Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear friends. I'm Zainab Sadat, and it's quite a pleasure to be here today. Mm-hmm. I have my MA in TFL, teaching English as a foreign language.
So, every day is a new life. Do you agree with that?
No.
Yes.
So, very nice. Two against one.
Yeah, we're going to have a hot discussion here about this.
Sure.
It's going to be heated so much because I do guess that after a certain time, life would turn into something that just goes on. And it's true. It does happen that something or sometimes would happen to you that would give you enough of energy for a week, for a month, for a year. Mm-hmm. If it's very much drastic, then after a while, you are going to turn into that person who gets used to it. And it's going to go just like natural everyday life that we have it.
You know, I'm not going to tell you that I absolutely disagree with this, for example, fact. Or I'm not going to tell you that it's impossible. Because the word impossible has a possible in it.
It has a sort of possibility in it. And all are human beings, you know. We have this ability to blink and turn it all around.
But the thing is, you're just going to satisfy yourself with these kind of sentences.
Yeah.
You know, and this is not the true thing that you believe in. If you believe in that you will do that, you won't say it.
Bita, I would say these are more of motivational sentences.
I don't like motivational sentences.
Yeah, because me too.
They are like faking something you are not.
You know, there is no problem with it. We're so pessimistic. Now the situation is getting so dark. Okay, let's put it this way. It's good to have hope on future. It's good to make every day like a brand new day that is coming into our life and has the capability of changing us upside down. But when it comes to something that turns into a slogan and you just say it without believing in it, without practicing it, it would be something so horrible.
You know, it highly depends on the way you visit, you see the world.
You tell us. You are the one who has
For God's sake, every day has a new life. You know, this sentence could be considered as a whole brand of cliche. You know, when you go deep inside it, why should I start a day thinking about my failures, thinking about my bad experiences? Why should I wake up in the morning and then all of those bad incidents come to my mind and then they would ruin my day?
No, Zainab, see, life is an ongoing process. I wake up every morning. I did not think about my failures. They're just there. You know what I mean? Is it true? Yeah, exactly. They make you think about it. And you don't think about it consciously. It happens today I have to go to work. Today I have to do this. Today I have to do that. So it's saying yesterday.
There are two pressures, a pressure from the past and a pressure from the future of the day, you know, last night and today. And this is somehow disgusting.
You know,
and
this
you cannot just avoid it.
You know, Bita, this sentence is just a reminder for you that, okay, you should just try to make the situation better. You should try to improve the situation.
Now I do believe that sentence
is just a reminder. It's not a cliche.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't look at that in that way.
It's not a cliche reminder.
Yeah. See, it's not a miracle maker. It's not just
definitely
by saying hocus pocus and then your life is different.
I don't want
totally.
To use cliche sentences, but it all depends on you.
Yeah, it depends. I do believe in this one. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you know what? When you wake up in the morning and you intend to start fresh.
Yeah.
And you intend, you just take action to do that.
You're telling me that you have to, you know, think fresh in a fresh way or something. But sometimes there are some habits, there are something deep, deep in your lifestyle that you cannot just avoid.
Exactly, yeah.
So what do you say about this?
You're talking about the everyday life, the boring chores that you are supposed to do every day. I don't want to seem cliché, but
you are a cliché.
Living in a modern world, in this modern world, plenty much of catastrophes happen. There are many people who are poor, many people who are suffering. They do not even have a bread to eat. So
That's right. Actually,
I guess we're born in a time that is very much difficult to tell to myself, this is a new day.
What I believe whenever I wake up in the morning
is
to take an action to improve that situation.
You're right.
There are lots of poor people and I cannot feed all of them.
And it's not just about the poor people. It's about the catastrophes that is going on in the world.
The catastrophes, the difficulties, Just try to make something.
I know
not
what you
to
mean.
Be impressed by that negative energy of thinking about those
Okay,
incidents.
Let me ask you a question. Do you try? How about yourself? You know, you're telling me that, okay, I believe in that kind of sentences. There are reminders.
I know how she tries.
Nice. How?
I do.
Tell me, because, you know, sometimes I really feel like I'm useless in this world. You know, I cannot do anything, no matter what I read, no matter what I do. It feels like useless. I don't know why I have this feeling, but I want you to tell me that what do you do in your day-to-day life that you feel like you're trying?
You know, Bisa, you would just make someone happy and then you would feel useful in the society.
Yeah, and there's this poem from Emily Dickinson that I love pretty much. If I can help a robin to his nest, I shall not live in vain.
Yes.
If I can help one heart from aching, I shall not live in vain. So life is these little things.
You both see la vie en rose.
Yes, la vie en rose. What's the problem with that?
There are many problems. I'm pessimist.
But no, Bambita, I agree with this perspective that saying something just as a motivational sentence and going for that as a gospel truth is not going to work in your life. Because only saying something is not going to solve anything. And by the way, it's not going to do miracles for you until you believe it and you practice it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and on this part, I would agree with Zainab when she says that I just have that connotation from the very morning that I wake up in order to try and change that day in a new direction. Try to lead it in a new direction.
Do things differently in order not to feel
just to
bored.
Have this concept in me that I'm a human being. I have all the difficulties in life that all the human beings have. I am a living, breathing being who's got different sort of emotions, different sort of problems, but still, I can just turn them all around.
Yes. That's the point.
I can change everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're just saying
I have
that.
The power. You know, what I want to say is that I have the power of changing everything in my favor.
Yeah, and I think this power is somehow more brilliant when you're a child. You know, when you're a child, every day exactly is a new life.
Yeah.
But I don't know why when you grow up, it's like, okay, the fear that you have in your day-to-day life will affect you. It will affect everything in your life. And you are like, okay, I want to make a decision, but there are many thoughts, there are many things, there are many habits that will avoid me to do that. And I think this is the main problem
you
that
know
we cannot
why,
live in a
Mita,
new way.
You know why? Because the older you get, the more you grow up, you would
be more
realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to have a more realistic point of view towards life. You're going to be familiar with the idea of death. You're going to know that no matter how much you try in this world, there'd be a full stop for that. There'd be a day, there'd be a morning that you're not going to be in that.
Yeah, exactly.
So the world would move on without you. I'm just being so realistic.
Try to be more spiritual. We have God.
No, of course we
of course
and
we
because
have.
We have a God and because Allah is watching over us, We are trying to do things every day. We try to achieve things. And we're not thinking of life as a useless material in our hand. So, because we do believe in Allah. So, because, you know, when you look at many people who are atheists or they do not believe in the world to come, the way they look at life is pretty much depressing. Now, what we are saying here is not meant to mean as depressing as what they practice in their life. Mm-hmm. We're just saying that we shouldn't be so, you know, you talk in a way that, okay, life is perfect, everything is peachy, what a kind life I am having. No, it's not like that.
I'm not talking about that too.
We are human beings. We might face difficulties in our life, and it's okay. Because nobody has promised us a cheery life. Let's go for a short break and I'll be back in no time. Thank you for staying tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Life is about experiencing different situations, hardships, catastrophes, miseries, losing, and also achieving. Mm-hmm. Every day you lose something, the other day you're going to achieve something. I guess in everyone's destiny, there has been put a portion of balance. Mm-hmm. So as much as bad things you might experience in life, there would be some good things.
Yes.
And that good day that we're talking about, we just mean that don't say it in a way that just seems like a slogan. Try to practice it. If you really believe that, okay, every day is a new life, then practice it. Then really go for a new things. Because also we have it that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, as a Muslim, every day of your life must be different from the other day. Mm-hmm. So which means if you are feeling that platitude, if you think that life is dull, there is a problem that you have to check it and solve it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think the thing is, when you hear this sentence that every day in a life, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, you have to be better every day. But it's like that. Sometimes even being in a lower level of life in a day is a new change, is a new life.
That's, and that's pretty
this
much
is the thing that is enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I guess I get what Vital means. Mm-hmm. She means that you don't have to think that everything is perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it to yourself. Yeah, idealism. And being a perfectionist is going to kill you.
Yes, that's a great danger. And you know what? When you want to start fresh, you can't learn from your mistakes. When I'm saying that when you change the situation for better, I mean that you can think about your mistakes, your failures, mm-hmm. in order to fix them.
Yeah, exactly.
Not in order just
to repeat them again.
Bring those
again.
Negative thoughts in your brain and start in a bad mood. No, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about taking lesson from your failures and mistakes. And you can see that day by day, you would change the situation. You would take lesson from your failures, your mistakes. Okay, I would not do that again. So the next day, I would not face the same difficulties and problems. And that would help.
Yeah, of course. Vita, we would say that as a driving force. Every mm-hmm. day we have to say this to ourselves in order to have a driving force that would help us go further.
Go through this. Okay. Yeah. I think this is all about the self-awareness. You have to be aware of, you know, everything about yourself, everything about your life. And this thinking will help you. Sometimes you fear thinking about anything. You feel like, okay, if I think I would get depressed, so I won't think about
anything. Yeah, and many people ignore this mm-hmm. thinking because they would think it would depress me. But they do not know that.
This is not the solution, you know.
It would surge up in their unconscious mm-hmm. and they would have its effect.
Exactly. And I think when you just try to avoid this thinking and you are like, okay, I won't think about it. It is more stronger in your subconscious.
Exactly, yeah.
This is the problem, I think.
Without having a hope for a better life, mm-hmm. we're not going to continue, and life would be a dull thing.
Motivation is absolute need for everyone, you know?
Yeah, motivation. We need that motivation, and that's all the thing that we're talking about. Try to have motivation in life, whether you say this sentence to yourself or not. The thing that matters is motivation. Try to inspire yourself with more of energy and hope and believe that a future has got something nice for you and do not give in. the difficult and hardships that you are facing in your life. Thank you, dear listeners.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
After 20 years of American deployment in Africa, the Pentagon has admitted that the area is getting worse. The Pentagon says the security environment has deteriorated and that violence has expanded in intensity and geographic reach. A report from the Pentagon's Africa Center for Strategic Studies has shown that militant attacks increased by 300% in Africa over the past decade. Violent events linked to militant groups have doubled since 2019. More than 6,200 violent events were attributed to terrorist groups in 2022, a 21% increase from the previous year. Almost 15,000 deaths were linked to the increase in terrorist-related activity. The West Sahel region and Somalia were the militancy hotspots where nearly 95% of the attacks had been carried out since 2019. Extremist groups affiliated with Daesh and Al-Qaeda militants, such as Al-Shabaab, are mainly responsible for the attacks. In this regard, the Pentagon's African Command, or AFRICOM, whose area of responsibility covers all of Africa except Egypt, describes the duties of the force as promoting regional security, stability, and prosperity, while assisting to strengthen the security forces of allied nations. But it also admits AFRICOM will work to advance U.S. national interests on the continent. both Somalia and the Sahel, are actively hosting U.S. troops, and the U.S. now has some 30 military bases scattered across Africa. Former U.S. President Donald Trump had ordered the military to pull out all its troops from Africa. However, the incumbent ordered the U.S. military to maintain a permanent presence in Africa. Last year, U.S. President Joe Biden authorized the deployment of hundreds of American troops to reestablish a persistent U.S. military presence. The U.S. maintains its military presence in Africa under the pretext of fighting terrorism, but human rights groups say civilians have been caught in the crossfire and casualties from U.S. airstrikes are higher than have been reported. Also, Washington does not have a good track record, even when it comes to delivering on its stated claims of fighting terrorism. Somalia is a perfect example of systematic American military failures across the continent. After two decades of deployments, drone strikes, and commando raids to fight al-Shabaab terrorists in the country, the militant group has proven resilient and is still able to carry out attacks in the country as well as neighboring states. History has shown that the U.S. has brought instability and conflict to any region it has established a military foothold. Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, and Libya have all been subject to U.S. interventions and are experiencing chaos as a result. In recent years, there has been growing recognition of the militarization of U.S. foreign policy in Africa, especially following the establishment of the Africa Command in 2007. Despite its years-long military presence in Africa, the U.S. has not only failed to combat extremists and terrorists, but has also been involved in coups and the overthrow of several governments. Since 2008, U.S.-trained African military officers have attempted at least 9 coups in 5 Western African countries. According to a report, 8 such coups, which took place in Burkina Faso, Guinea, Mali, and Mauritania in different years, were successful. The failed coup was in Gambia in 2014. Confirmation is reported from the U.S. Africa Command that several African military leaders who staged coups in their countries participated in AFRICOM's flintlock exercises. Since 2015, 5 coups have been carried out by military leaders who had previously participated in Special Operations Command Africa flintlock exercises. The U.S. Department of Defense claims that these exercises, which were first conducted in Africa in 2005, are intended to strengthen the capacity of African countries to fight terrorism. But are they? Despite their claims, Americans have only been harbingers of more coups and more instability in Africa.
China seems to be going through a decisive change towards a one-man ruling system after several decades of power shifting. President Xi also has total control over the Politburo that he introduced among his closest allies. His power even extends to the military, as he also holds the title of Chairman of the Central Military Commission. In his most recent address to the CCP, President Xi pledged to pursue a very communist idea. He pledged to redistribute wealth to reduce inequality, as well as full employment. He also added promotion of gender equality, expansion of social security and healthcare, protecting the environment, and fighting the cancer of corruption as other items on his agenda. Despite the controversies that mainstream media tried to bring Xi into, China's current and future leader has been able to put the nation on a fast track to dethroning the U.S. as the world's number one superpower. But the U.S. isn't the only country that isn't enjoying the shift of power from west to the east. Josep Borrell, the representative of the European Union, whose recent mildly racist / elitist comments stirred emotions.
Yes, Europe is a garden. We have built a garden. Everything. The rest of the world, and you know very well, Federica, is not exactly a garden. The rest of the world, most of the rest of the world, is a jungle. And the jungle could invade the garden. And the gardeners should take care of it.
Has admitted to the role that China and Russia have played in his garden's prosperity. He said, I think that the Chinese workers with their low salaries have done much better and much more to contain inflation than all the central banks together. He also said, our prosperity was based on China and Russia, energy and market. Clearly today, we have to find new ways for energy from inside the European Union, as much as we can, because we should not change one dependency for another. This is not the first time that Ursula von der Leyen makes inflammatory or accusatory comments about China or Russia. She does still recognize the crucial role that China plays in European economy, though. In the follow-up of the EU-China summit that took place in late June, she said that the EU-China relationship is simultaneously, quote, one of the most strategically important and one of the most challenging. Regardless of what the EU or the US or the mainstream media says about Xi Jinping, or the numerous criticisms they throw his way, China is not fazed or threatened. China's economic recovery from numerous challenges, including COVID, came much earlier than many big global economies. And so the best market for China's goods has now become China itself. As Borrell said, the EU is reliant on Chinese goods and services and not the other way around. This is the reason why the EU, despite warning China not to trade with Russia amid EU sanctions, hasn't been able to take any decisive action against the Asian superpower. The US has also tried to undermine China through meddling in Taiwan's affairs. In fact, US President Joe Biden has made his most explicit statement so far on the issue by outright stating that US forces would defend Taiwan in case of a Chinese attack. He was even asked to clarify if he meant whether American men and women, unlike in Ukraine, would defend the island, to which he replied, yes. Despite all the attempts made by US or the EU to undermine China, as Borrell stated, the EU can certainly look for domesticizing production and decreasing its reliance on China, but as it stands, the idea seems more like a distant dream than anything resembling an actual short-term applicable plan to get Europe out of the crisis it's in.
The Palestinian movement Hamas has restored relations with the Syrian government after holding a historic meeting with the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. The Syrian president also met with Palestinian factions. This is the first such visit by Hamas officials to the Syrian capital since the year 2012. Hamas said the movement will continue to build and develop solid relations with the Syrian Arab Republic, considering that this decision serves the nation and its just causes, with the cause of Palestine at its core. Yet the important question is, why the resumption of ties at this time? For starters, the resumption of relations between Hamas and Damascus would strengthen the axis of resistance in West Asia. Hamas will now cement its role within the axis of resistance against its enemy, Israel. This may impact the way each acts against the other, especially militarily. This reconciliation appears to have rattled the U.S. cage, which was quick to denounce the move. It said the Assad regime's outreach to this terrorist organization only reinforces its isolation. It also harms the interests of the Palestinian people. But Hamas's move formalizes a rapprochement that has been underway for some time and comes amid fundamental shifts in West Asia. For example, Turkey is considering a rapprochement with Assad. The UAE has already done the same. Also, Jordan's King Abdullah II has showed overtures. The United Arab Emirates and Bahrain have gone ahead and reopened their embassies in Damascus. This is while senior officials in several Arab states are pressing to reinstate Syria's membership of the Arab League. Another important development has taken place that cannot go unnoticed. Palestinian factions signed a reconciliation agreement in Algeria, in which Hamas, Fatah, and 12 other Palestinian groups agreed to hold legislative and presidential elections within 1 year. In the Algiers meeting, Ismail Haniyeh said, "This is a historical moment through which we see Al-Quds." He thanked the Algerian president Abdelmadjid Tebboune for his country's efforts in sponsoring the talks. But what did he mean exactly? How would this reconciliation enable Palestinians to see Al-Quds? Yet the timing of these two events, the Algiers reconciliation of Palestinian factions, then Hamas's trip to Syria, gives the impression that there are serious diplomatic moves being made between Palestinian factions. Another development, which is another piece to this puzzle, is the head of Hamas's political bureau chief, Ismail Haniyeh, visiting Moscow recently and holding high-level political talks with Russian officials, including the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. This puts the spotlight on Russia's role here. Russia is signaling how it wants to play a more constructive role when it comes to the West Asia region, especially when it comes to Palestinians. This couldn't be any clearer than the stance that the PA President Mahmoud Abbas took when it came to Russia, which was relayed during the SICA meeting that was held recently. The Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, who met with the Russian President Vladimir Putin, relayed to him his mistrust of the U.S. in resolving the conflict with Israel, expressing an appreciation for Russia's role. He voiced his support for the Mideast quartet of international mediators, namely Russia, the U.S., the United Nations, and the European Union, but said the U.S. could not be left a free hand to act alone. He said, "We don't trust America, and you know our position. We don't trust it, we don't rely on it, and under no circumstances can we accept that America is the sole party in resolving a problem." Maybe that is why the U.S. is raising the alarm over the reconciliation between Fatah and Hamas. Now that they are on one page, they can act with one voice against Israel and the U.S. And the U.S. reaction to this is very telling when it says that it will take this out against Palestinians, instead of taking a diplomatic approach towards the two groups reconciling, since they can speak with one voice for the Palestinians. This may mean that there will be more pressure and violations by Israel against the Palestinians with full U.S. support.
The Twitter account of UN Human Rights Council addressed the report published by the three-member commission and shared the link to it. The title of the report very clearly addresses the occupation to be unlawful under international law with zero ambiguity. The report states the reason for the conclusion to be the permanence of the occupation as well as Israel's de facto annexation policies. Navi Pillai, chair of the commission, stated, "Recent statements by the Secretary General and numerous member states have clearly indicated that any attempt at unilateral annexation of a state's territory by another is a violation of international law and is null and void. 143 member states, including Israel, last week voted in favor of a General Assembly resolution reaffirming this." The chair also further added, "Unless universally applied, including to the situation in the occupied Palestinian territory, this core principle of the United Nations Charter will become meaningless." The 28-page report published by Navanethem Pillai, Milun Kothari, and Christopher Sidoti highlights the sustenance and the advancement of the settlement enterprise, and the continuous expansion over the past couple of years that resulted in many Palestinian families to be forced out of their homes only for foreigners who've never been to the land to occupy their homes.
Yaakov, you know this is not your house.
Yes, but if I go, you don't go back. So what's the problem? What are you yelling at me? I didn't do this.
But you're
easy to yell at me, but I didn't do this.
Yeah, you are stealing my house.
And if I don't steal it, someone else is going
to
steal it.
No one is allowed to steal it, Yammi.
Statements by Israeli officials that showed their intention to maintain permanent control over the expanding settlements were also noted in the reports and were part of the reason why the occupation was declared unlawful. Chair of the commission also recognized the direct and indirect transferring of Israelis into the settlements as a plan to ensure permanent Israeli control in the West Bank. The Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including Al-Quds and in Israel. That is the name that the UN gave to the commission in May of 2021 when the UN Human Rights Council held a special session on the grave human rights situation in the occupied Palestinian territory. During the session, the UNHRC decided to establish an urgent international commission of inquiry to investigate alleged human rights violations in the occupied Palestinian territories at the hands of Israel. The recent report is the culmination of what the three-member council has found during the past year and a half in what seems to be an uncharacteristically direct accusation of Israeli human rights violation and breaking of international law. Let's take a quick look at some of the bullet points mentioned in the report. An allusion to the core principles of the UN on annexation, which Israel seems to have also agreed to, even though it has violated it. The existence of a settlement enterprise and the efforts to make settlement permanent, violating the rights of Palestinians who were forced to leave as settlers took their homes by force. Israelis' exploitation of land and natural resources, the restrictive urban planning and zoning policies that seize Palestinian construction as an impediment to settlements that result in frequent confiscation of land, demolition of homes, and eventually displacement. The silent harm and psychological trauma resulting from erosion of economic, social, and cultural rights of Palestinians in a coercive environment that fragments the Palestinian society. The necessity of international action as Israeli government's actions are seen by the Commission as criminal, particularly its direct and indirect transfer of civilian population into occupied and annexed territories. The report seems to be a step in the right direction for the UN to fulfill its sole responsibility of standing up for human rights violations globally. But whether or not the criminal accusations towards Israel will lead to an International Court of Justice investigation and trial remains to be seen, especially when Israel has the unwavering support of the US.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network, in the presence of some of the students of Sevier International Schools. Here we have Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, right?
Yes.
And Hussein Ruhullah, yeah?
Yes.
And Brother Ali Nasir. So I really welcome you all here in this session. Welcome. And salam, how are you? Good, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is fine.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Great. So, brothers and sisters, as you're listening to us, inshallah, in this session, again, we're going to hold a very important Quranic session for you. Inshallah, we'll be explaining, as previous sessions, we'll be explaining, inshallah, some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then we'll be working on the Tajweed rules. And we will be reciting and practicing, inshallah, these verses with Tajweed rules. So, brothers, and also brothers and sisters who are listening to us and brothers who are here, inshallah, today we'll be talking about Ayah 44 in Surah Al-Baqarah. Make sure you stay with us till the end of this session. But before we start, everyone, let's listen to the recitation of this Ayah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون.
So now, inshallah, I'll be reciting. Make sure you listen, trace, and then repeat, inshallah, after me. All right? Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب
أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب
أفلا تعقلون
أفلا تعقلون.
أحسنتم. So, something important is here in this ayah, okay? Allah Almighty says, أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب. Allah Almighty says that, are you like commanding others to do good things? Okay? Are you commanding like other people or enjoining other people? Hey, people, do good things. Be respectful. Be kind to each other. وتنسون أنفسكم, and you've forgotten yourself. You're not kind. You're telling others to do so, but you're not doing it by yourself. وتنسون أنفسكم. Will you bid others to piety and forget yourselves? Okay? وأنتم تتلون الكتاب, while you recite the book. The book here is the Quran Karim. Yeah. While you recite the Quran Karim, okay? Do you not apply reason or don't you really understand? So, the message of this ayah, shortly, I will tell you, but make sure you refer to the Tafasir book, okay? Interpretation books for more and better and explanations. So, the thing is that if we are Muslims and we are inviting other people to Islam, you know, nowadays, most of the people, not Muslims, those who do not care about Islam, those who think that Islam is not a good religion, they do not like Islam, actually, okay? Whenever we talk about Islam, they say, well, forget it, Islam, terrorist, that's all. Yeah, they say this way.
Yes.
It's just because those who call themselves Muslim, okay, they are doing things which are not in the religion. They are inviting... So we are inviting people to do good things. But when they see other Muslims, okay, who are not really Muslims, when they see them doing just the opposite, they say, look, this is Islam. Yeah, this is so bad, okay? Whenever we invite people to do something, first and foremost, we have to be doing it, okay? We should be the first to do so, okay? Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, I never... tell people to do something if I do not do it myself. Okay, if Imam Ali alayhi salam was inviting people to do justice, to be fair, to be just, so he was the first person who was following, who was doing this. Yeah?
Yes.
So it's so much important. Okay, وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, and we forget ourselves. In the next ayah, Allah Almighty says in the other surah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say things that you do not apply in your words? Okay, why, for example, a person says that, oh, Fawad, be careful about your morning prayer, okay? Do your morning prayers. But he himself does not wake up early in the morning. Okay? وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. You're reading the Quran, you're knowing, oh, these are the rules. These are the commands of Allah Almighty. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Why don't you pay attention? Why don't you apply reason? Okay? Why don't you think about it? Look, we have a hadith, okay, says, رُبَّ تَالِي الْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُمْ. There are a lot of reciters of the Qur'an Kareem. There are some reciters, or a lot, or some. رُبَّ means a lot, or sometimes some, okay? There are some reciters. there are some people who read Quran, okay? Who are the readers of Quran? They're reciting the Quran in a beautiful voice. As if people, oh, he is the one who knows the Quran the best. But really, in reality, the Quran sends la'anat upon them. Why? Because they do not ta'aqqul, they do not apply ta'aqqul reasoning. Okay, they just read it. Yeah, they just read it.
They don't understand.
Yeah, even if they understand, they do not care. The money is being charged, that's it. They get the money and recite, they get the money, that's enough. They don't care about understand. So, may Allah Almighty, inshallah, help us stay strong on the path of Allah Almighty and be amongst those who not only read the Quran, but understand and apply also the Quran, okay? Inshallah. Yes. So, this actually, it is a command to the Bani Israel, to the scholars of Jewish people, okay? That you're reading the book, your book as well. And the Torah that's written, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet. Believe in him. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Why don't you pay reasoning, pay attention? Why don't you apply reasoning? So, it's all races, I told you.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, let's go for the tajweed rules here in this ayah. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ Make sure a hamza is pronounced correctly. Do not say أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ or أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ Sometimes people say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ Yes, أَعُوذُ أَتَأْمُرُونَ أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ Okay, تَأْمُرُونَ then حَمْزَةُ الْوَاسِلِ لَامُ التَّعْرِيفِ plus sand letter, okay?
Yeah.
You have to skip لام as well and حَمْزَةُ الْوَاسِلِ as well. Hussein, how do you read this?
أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ
نَنَّاسَ أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ Make sure, okay? I told you the sign, it's very easy. That tashdeed on the top of noon in the word nas, that helps you a lot, okay? To understand that you have to join the previous word to this noon.
Yes.
Not lam, not hamza to was. Nannasa. Join it.
Nannasa.
Idgham mithlain. Yeah, idgham mithlain. Nannasa. Like idgham mithlain. It's actually idgham. So, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ بِالْبِرِّ Ra was a temporary heavy letter, yes?
Yes.
Here it has a kasra.
So it's light.
بِالْبِرِّ أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ
Yes.
وَتَنْسَوْنَ تَنْسَوْنَ نُن ساكين فوات plus سين rest of the letters. What rule is
إِخْفَى
hide the sound of the letter نُن Ali Nasir, read this. وَتَنْسَوْنَ
أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ
Why do you tell us to apply the rule of light letters and the letter Ra and you do not apply it by yourself? أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ
Okay, I'll fix it.
Fix it, okay?
أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ
That's it. But you didn't apply the rule idgham in the word nas. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ All right. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ Okay. وَتَنْسَوْنَ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ The same. Both are ikhfa, right, Hassan?
Yes.
وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ Again. The same ikhfa. Three ikhfa so far.
Yes.
One idgham in the word nas and three ikhfa. تَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ Make sure the sound of ta shouldn't be so much clear. Look. تَتْلُونَ No, not this. Tz. Not this sound. Tat. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ Not. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ. Not that sound, okay? Ta. All right?
Okay.
Make sure. Sometimes it happens.
Yes.
كِتَاب. Ah, mad.
Alif mad.
Alif mad will be changed to a longer mad. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ. And the letter ba, the harakat of ba, which is a fatha, will be changed to a sukoon. And qalqala will be applied. Normal qalqala. So, how do you say this, Hussein Ruhullah? وَأَنْتُمْ, recite it.
وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. All right. So, there is no other rule. So, if you're ready, Hussein will be reciting this ayah. We will be listening, okay? One, two, three, Hussein.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون.
الحمد لله. أحسنتم. ما شاء الله. Thank you so much, brother Hussein. Thanks, brother Ali Nasir. Thanks, Fawad. Thanks to Hassan Nasrullah. Inshallah, in the next coming sessions, we'll be again continuing our Quranic sessions. Stay with us, inshallah. Make sure you practice and refer to the tafsir or interpretation books for more explanation about each verse of the Quranic Karim. That's all for today. Thanks to Allah Almighty who blessed us for today's class. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. See you inshallah in the coming session. Stay with us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil fajr.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.